So the first reading is from Colossians chapter 2, just verse 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. The second reading is from Isaiah chapter 61, first three verses, the year of the Lord's favor. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Thank you.
Thanks for the reading, Liz. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Em, and I'm a member of the congregation here. Before I go any further, I just want to pray, because I'm really quite super nervous this morning. I was going to bring notes, but realised there's no point, because I won't actually even be able to find where I am. So I pray that the Lord can use me, that he will just fill me with his words, and just take away anything that isn't of him. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I know that some of you know that I'm a furniture restorer, but maybe not all of you. And I did my training at a very, very tiny college, Rycotewood. Sadly, it's not around anymore. It got swallowed up by one of the big colleges. And when I did my training there, in the first year, had one tutor that we had some really good tutors, but this one of them, Adrian Smith, and he really sticks in my mind even now, because he was so generous with his knowledge and his time, and so often he will go over and above to help us as students. And I'm just saying this because the theme of my talk this morning is about sometimes it's good to admit that you don't know. And when Adrian, he gave us as much information as he could in that first year. And that took the form of getting the whole tutor group together, which was 14 of us, and just doing a demonstration. He had years and years of experience, and he made it look very, very simple and straightforward. I wouldn't say easy, but simple and straightforward. I remember making copious notes, and I'd, you know. Then the idea was we would go and apply these principles to our own projects. And this is going to come as no surprise to you when I say, when we tried to do this, it wasn't simple, it wasn't straightforward. And a lot of the time, we were just left there, not just myself, but pretty much my whole tutor group at some point or other. We're left scratching our heads going, what do we do? And I've come to realise that, looking back, it wasn't so much that we'd done it wrong, but we just didn't know enough. And it was Adrian, with all his years of experience, he knew. But for all of us, much as we might have loved what we were doing, we were coming to it for the first time. And I just think, how much is that true of our faith? You know, we're all here because we were drawn to Jesus because of his message of good news and of hope. And that is the most fantastic message. But it doesn't take very long, does it, to realise that it isn't as simple and straightforward as that. There are always questions, situations that we just don't know the answer to, and things that just make us feel uncomfortable. I know for myself, I'm always not at the front there going, now let me ask a question about that. Let me say I don't actually know the answer to that one, whether that's to myself or to someone else. And I think, how much are we all prepared to ask those questions? I mean, life isn't nice, neat and easy, so our faith isn't going to be either. And life is full of challenges. It seems like we get peace in one area of our life and then there's a curveball in another. And we look at other people, or it might be us going through really tough times. Who of us is going to ask the tough questions then? We cling on to our faith. It's a good thing that we have that message, that we know we have our hope in Jesus. But when we don't ask those questions, what does that do to our own spiritual growth? It seems to me that we just stay exactly where we are and we don't grow. And how does that look to people around us? That might be our family, it might be friends, or it might just be people that, as we're going about our daily life. If we are just holding on to that message, again, it seems to me that we might be pretty unconvincing, because we're holding one reality and what people are around us are seeing is something quite different. If we don't become real, if we don't admit that we have questions, we don't know, then it's no wonder that maybe our faith is baffling to others, or it gets just dismissed as a fairy tale, or, oh, that's okay for you because it's a crutch, it helps you through. That if we want our life to be real and our faith to be real, then we need to be asking those questions and admitting that we don't know. And it's fine to admit that we don't know. Actually, I think sometimes it can be really powerful. And what I want to do is just share another experience with you. This is 20 odd years ago, and this has stuck with me all this while because it made such an impact. And I was on an Alpha course. At the time, I'd been pretty backslidden. And the talk that morning, it was about suffering. And it was John Hardacre who was the speaker that day. And I know that most of you will remember John, but maybe not all of us. And he was asked one of those really difficult questions. One of the guests asked about suffering and why prayer seems to be answered and some prayer not. And John, he was so open and so candid. His reply was something along the lines of, I don't know, but that's going to be one of the first questions that I ask when I get to heaven. And the reason that that made such an impact on me was firstly because I've been around the church family for pretty much most of my childhood and an awful lot of my adult life. And I had never heard a minister or a priest stand and say, I don't know that. The other reason that it really made an impact on me is because the way he spoke, the subtext was, I don't know now, but I will do one day. And to be so candid. He didn't shirk the question. He didn't try and answer something else. He didn't come out with something theological. He was just real. And it didn't diminish his faith. It actually made it more. So I think when we can admit that we don't have the answers to the questions and the confusion, it makes us real. It makes us more and not less. But I'm also aware that if we are going to ask those difficult questions, we don't know what answers we're going to get. We don't even know if we are going to get an answer straight away. We may have to wait for this, which is sometimes really incredibly difficult. But when we do this, I think we put ourselves in potentially a risky position, because those questions and answers, they could seriously make our faith quite wobbly. So it's really important that we are firmly anchored, that we are deeply rooted in Jesus. And that's not just something that happens. That is something that we have to make a choice about and we have to actively pursue. But I just think, what is not to love in the pursuit of Jesus? You know, it's that reading from Colossians. We are invited to plant our roots deep into him, to live and to grow in him. And that's not just about growth and strength and stability. There are so many other things that come with that as well. You know, refreshment and his love. It's about restoration, forgiveness, and so many more things. And I also love the passage from Isaiah, because to me it conjures such a beautiful picture of a saviour that comes to meet us where we are in the situations that we're in. He sees us, we're all pretty much broken people, and he fixes us. He wants to fix us, but more than that, he wants to make us beautiful and strong as oaks of righteousness. And all the while this happens, what we show is we reflect Jesus to all of those around us. What they see is Jesus' glory working in us. And also, when we plant our roots deeply, it's like an oasis for our spirit. We can grow. He can show us things that we didn't even know maybe was possible, things beyond, way beyond our understanding. And when we ask him to come deeply into our lives, it's going to make us hungry to know more, and hungry to see people around us coming to know Jesus. And it also makes us more teachable. And that means we'll be better disciples, and that we'll be able to be better disciplers. We'll be able to see those epiphanies in our lives, those little and big epiphanies. We'll see enlightenment and revelation, and we'll grow in discipleship. But we have to be asking those questions. And when we do, the glory is, it is going back to Jesus where it is due, because what we're showing to all of those around us is him. Now, we're still not going to know the answers to all the questions, we're still going to be left saying we don't know. But we will be in a much, much better position to ask all of those questions. And thank you for listening to me.